Bow your head. I cut myself shaving this morning, and so I'm still working it. I've got two different blood thinners in me now, so I have to dab it once in a while, but I will not allow the enemy to disrupt what I'm going to do this morning. So, before we take the table, I want us to take a moment and be quiet before the Lord. I want each of us to examine our hearts. Now, I can say this to you as honestly as I know how. I've searched my heart. We don't know why these things happen. We don't know what happened to Job. It was just a contest between God and Satan. I've searched my heart. I've tried to keep everything in my life confessed up to date. I don't want any hidden sin, any ignored sin in my life, not even an attitude. And since the stroke hit, I've examined, and I cannot find anything that I've been ignoring. I keep my sins confessed up to date just the same way I tell you to. My sins basically are attitudes. I can develop an attitude in a heartbeat. And I can develop attitudes towards individuals or types of individuals in a heartbeat. But Christ went to the cross for everybody. There's no room in the heart of a believer for animosity, for prejudice. There's no place in our hearts for that. And if we find it there, we have to confess it. We have to confess it as sin. And so I've done that. I've searched my heart, and I can't really find anything. I've got some attitudes I know that I need to constantly hold before the Lord, but I do. So bad things happen that we don't understand, but in it all, God preserved me. I've been doing radio ministry at the home. Matter of fact, I did one yesterday that'll be on the air tomorrow. So I just stay busy about the work of the kingdom. And I want to thank Gene. I want to thank Freddie for standing in for me while I just backed off and backed down to try to sort things out and give myself a chance to get my feet back on the ground. So going forward, I think sometimes, if we're not careful, we treat the Lord's table as an afterthought. It should be central. It should be central. So I want us all to just bow our heads, close our eyes, and ask the Lord if there's anything in your heart that would grieve the Holy Spirit. If there's anything that would quench the Holy Spirit. Any unconfessed sin, any attitudes, anything that might hinder your walk with the Lord. And that's something we should do every day of our lives. We should do that before we start the day out in the morning. So let's take a moment and be quiet. Father, help each and every one of us on a daily basis to examine our hearts, to discover if there's any seed of anything there that should not be there. Maybe something has grown into fruition in our hearts that should not be there. We simply ask you to search our hearts day by day, Holy Spirit of God. Where we need conviction, give us conviction. Where we need understanding, give us understanding. But anoint us, I pray, day by day, to understand those things in our lives, even in our thought life, that might be grievous to you, that might in some way hinder the work of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives. Help us to be a godly people, a holy people, walking in light, truth, and love. And Father, this morning as we come to the table, Let us examine our hearts, Lord. Because we know that some are sick and have suffered because they partook of the table unworthily. Your word teaches us that. So help us this morning as we come to the table to come repentant, to come expressing not only our devotion to you, but our thanksgiving to you for who you are, Jesus. You're not an afterthought. You're not an add-on to the service. You are central to the service. You're central to our lives. And without you, we're nothing. And we understand that. We know that. And Father God, we want to walk in love, light, truth, and transparency. We want to be to you and for you. All we can possibly be to you and for you. And we cannot do that if we have unconfessed sin in our lives. So, Father, day by day, show us those things, even an attitude, Father God, that is contrary to your word and your will, and let us keep it before you. And with this we ask in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen, amen and amen. I try to practice what I preach, day by day by day. I have to examine my heart and make sure there's nothing there that I can't take before the Lord and hand it to Him. So we're going to come to the table this morning. I want you to, no conversation coming up. I just want you to come down, get your cup, get your bread, go back to your seat, and then we will take it together. So let's stand up, come on down and get the cup and the bread, return to your seat, and then we'll take it. No music, no piano, just us. How are you today?
Much better.
You better?
Much better, yes.
Okay.
Definitely. Thank you.
Be blessed. Be blessed. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is a new testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of this cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. You want to take the time from time to time to thank the Lord for chastening. I've been chastened. This recent event in my life, I do not see as a chastening. I went before the Lord, searching my heart, because I try to keep, as I teach you, my sin list short. I confess it day by day, my attitudes, my stuff that I know that is wrong in my attitudes towards others or whatever it may be. But as we come to the table this morning, understand this. It is the blood that cleanses. It is the blood that cleanses. And once you've been cleansed, you stay cleansed by constantly confessing. Brother Gene, I want you to come up, take that microphone, and thank the Lord for the bread.
Father, we thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, for what you did on Calvary. You provided your Son, the Lord Jesus, to be the supreme sacrifice, sinless and willing. And his body was beaten upon that cross. And Father, we do this in remembrance of what Christ did on that cross for us. Thereby, Father God, through it all, you allowed us, sinful man, a way to be reconciled to holy God through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that day at Calvary, when your Son Jesus was crucified, his body beaten for us and the sins of mankind. Lord, I want to thank you. I thank you, Lord, for this that represents his body that we take. And we do this in remembrance of you until you return, Lord Jesus. So we thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Amen.
And all of God's people said, amen. Freddie, come up and thank the Lord for the cup, the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission.
Most gracious Father, Lord, we know and understand that our lives, from the moment we were born, needs a cleansing. And we thank you, Lord, that you have provided for us something, Lord God, that will wash us clean, and that is the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you were willing to sacrifice your Son to come down into human form, to leave glory, to become for us what we were not able to do for ourselves. So we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you were willing to bleed upon us by your own sacrifice so that we may be washed clean, so that we may be redeemed once again. So we thank you for the precious blood that has washed us of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you for the blood, Lord. It's the blood that cleanses. Thank you, Lord. All right, the children can go back to the class and whoever's teaching them. Thank you, Freddie. We'll take the offering at the end of the service, just before we leave. I'm waiting to make sure everybody gets settled and seated in before we... It's on. Open your Bibles, if you would, please, to Romans chapter 8. Thank you, Freddie. About 2 or 3 weeks ago, the Lord started birthing this message this morning, these scriptures, and they're very familiar to us. But sometimes things become so familiar, they lose some of their impact. I think from time to time, we need to go back and look very carefully at some of those things that we are so familiar with to make sure they have not lost their impact. I don't know if this is going to be 15 minutes or 50 minutes. The Lord will make that determination as we go through it. But I want to thank all of you for praying for me. I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your concerns. And I thank my wife. The way she has taken care of me, I'd have never made it with any other woman in the world. I know that. And God tailor-made her for me, and I appreciate that. And she needs prayer because she's got a knee and a foot problem. It's giving her some problems, so you'd be praying for her too if you would please. But she's a soldier. She's a soldier. She hangs in. In Romans chapter 8, God's plan for your life is that you should be Christ-like. It's that simple. God's plan for our life is that we should be Christ-like. Now, when I say our life, who do I mean? I mean those who have been born again. Those who truly know Christ as their Savior. Those who have been adopted into the family of God. There's only two families on planet Earth. The family of Satan, the family of God. There's no in-betweens. There's only two. The family of Satan and the family of God. Every human being on the face of the earth is a member of one of those two families. You need to bear that in mind. Every human being on the face of the earth is a member of one of those two families. Now, about 3 weeks ago, the Lord started just birthing this, and in Romans chapter 8, we've been there so many times. We've read it so many times, but I don't know if it's impacted. I don't know if it's got in the way it should get in. But we're going to go to Romans 8. We're going to begin with verse 28 and look at some spiritual truth for those in the family of God. And we know, we don't doubt, we don't suspicion, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. We know that all things, the good, the bad, the ugly, everything. I didn't write this. I just teach it. But the Word says, we know that all things work together, whatever they may be. See, we never know what God is working out in our lives. When I got hit with a stroke, I had to stop. So far as I know, I keep all my sins confessed up to date. I mean, you never know what, you see, I look at Job. Job wasn't punished because he had sin in his life. It was a contest. I know this, you see, even in the stroke, God protected my speech. God protected my understanding. God protected my reading. All of that. The only thing that I lost primarily, and I'm not as sharp in some areas, I know as I should be, but lost some memory. I didn't lose some of the memory I'd like to have lost. Hello? You know, if I could design the stroke and say, Lord, hit me with this, and in hitting me with that, take out this and this and this and this and this. Wouldn't that be a joy? But he takes some of the memory in a stroke. But when we look at the scripture, we know that all things. See, some of you looked and thought, he must have sin in his life. No. No. I keep my sin confessed up to date. My sin is primarily attitudes. I can develop an attitude in a heartbeat. I can become critical in a heartbeat. I can become judgmental in a heartbeat. I know that. And because I'm aware of that, I keep it before the throne. I keep it before the Lord. So I try to examine my life on a constant daily basis to find out if Satan has sown any seeds in my life that should not be there. Over the years, I found any number of seed he had sown into my life that should not have been there. But through the confession of sin, I dug them up, dug them out, got rid of them. So we know that all things, not all things are pleasant, not all things are enjoyable, contrary to what some people teach, but we know that all things, now each and every one of you, are going through your own wine press right now. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, you go through it. You don't talk about it. You can pray about it, but you don't dump to other people. You just pray. But we know that all things, see, we don't understand all the things that happen in our lives. God knows. And we know this. Are you ready for this? He is determined to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ, one way or the other. And sometimes we don't understand what needs to be brought out of our lives until we are faced with something in our lives that needs to come out of our lives. But God loves you. God loves me. I didn't doubt God's love because I had a stroke. Not at all. I was just thankful he left me with my speech. He left me with my bodily function, my bodily movements, all the parts of my body. What I wish, I think, I could have lost a little more memory and been better off for it. Because we each have memories of things we regret, that we resent. We know that all things, whatever they are, work together for good for those who love God. For those who love God, the good, the bad, the enjoyable, the distasteful, the entire package. You ever stop to really look at that scripture? We know that all things, everything that happens in your life, God is tailoring you, tailoring me. We know that all things, the bad, the good, the ugly, the indifferent, everything that happens is working towards, if you will, conforming us to Christ Jesus once we can, and even before we're saved. What he protects us from. What he protects us in. Many of us don't deserve to be here today, quite frankly, because of who we were, and what we were involved in. We don't deserve it. But we know that all things work together for good for the love of God, who are the called according to his purpose. Those who have been called, the called is who? Whosoever will. I take exception to some commentators. Because I realize that we as the people of God are elect. I realize we're elected of God, but then whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So I can't break it down and try to make it that God has chosen some before the foundation of the world. The fact that God is God and omnipotent and omniscient, and the fact that God knew before the foundation of the world who would and who would not, does not mean that God chose some and left others out. The word says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And sometimes I think that we get so deep into academics and we try to explain things we really don't understand, or we have trouble with the totality of God, who he is and all he is, and the omniscience of God, the omnipotence of God. I think sometimes if we're not careful, the higher we go in the educational field, I think sometimes we try to explain things that we don't understand. But we feel like we try to understand. I read this in commentaries. I pick up commentaries, folks, and I start and I just stop. I say, no way. No way. And I look at what's going on in the world today. I look at the degrees. I look at the degrees and the people who hold the degrees and some of the stands they're making in the kingdom of God. And I'm amazed that these people, what kind of seminary did you go to? What Bible did you read? That you can take the position that you're taking, that you can espouse what you're espousing. Where did you go to school? But then I realize this. Agents of Satan have saturated every expression of life. They've saturated the church. There's agents of Satan in organized religion. There are agents of Satan in what we call the church. But the church, is the body of Christ. The true church is made up of the blood-bought, blood-washed people of God. People who have been born again. People who recognize they were sinners, ask Christ into their heart by faith, and were born again. That is the people of God. Look at verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. For whom he did foreknow? Folks, God is omniscient. From before he ever created anything, he knew who was going to be created. He knew the color of their skin. He knew their nationality. He knew their cultural environment. He knew everything about us. And he knew who would and who would not believe and receive. He knew. He's omniscient. He knew who would receive, who would believe. And so he predetermined that those who did believe and did receive would be born again and would be conformed to the image of his Son one way or the other. Now let me throw something in there to you now. You can make the conforming process as easy or as hard as you want to. But he's going to conform you to the image of Christ. He's going to get you like Christ. He may have to burn out a lot of dross. He may have to let you come through some very, very unpleasant circumstances and situations, but he's going to get it out. But you see, we're all at different levels. Every individual in here and every individual on the sound of my voice on the radio is at a different level in their growth with the Lord. They're at a different level in their relationship with the Lord. We all come from different backgrounds. We all have ancestral sins we got to deal with. We have generational sins we have to deal with. All of us are individually different one from another. And only God knows what went into making us what we are. Only God knows the weaknesses in our bloodline. Oh boy, turn to somebody and say, this is going to hurt. I know what I'm talking about. I did a little research on my bloodline, and I found out some of the sins in my bloodline. And God visits the sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generation, and that becomes a continuum until somebody in that bloodline says, halt, enough is enough. I'm turning against this, I'm confessing it as sin, I rebuke it, I resist it, I renounce it, and by the power of God and in the name of Jesus, I stand against it and I will have victory over it. But guess what? You don't know it's there until you're in the crucible. Don't let what I just said escape you. You've got to understand that you don't understand what Satan has in your bloodline and what Satan has infiltrated you with until you're into the test, until you're there, and then you come to recognition, wait a minute, I had no idea that was in my life. I had no idea that was in my life. That attitude, that response, that reaction, I had no idea. God's got to reveal it to you. And until he reveals it to you, listen to me. There are things in your life that lay there dormant for years and years and years. Satan is waiting for the right moment, the right minute, the right opportunity, the right situation, the right circumstance to seed that thing that is in your life and bring it to the forefront. And he's patient. And he will help organize that situation, that circumstance in your life to bring that forth. He will take his time. He's in no hurry. He's waiting for the right moment to stir you the way he wants to stir you. And then is the moment crucial. But you see, and let me say this to you. Turn to somebody and say, this hurts. You're going to have to face every stronghold that Satan ever had in your life. You're going to have to face it. You're going to have to overcome it. You've got to come beyond it, over it. You've got to get victory. And friend, you can't get the victory in your own strength. You cannot get the victory in your own power. Only Christ can give you the victory. And Christ will give you the victory. But the strongholds lay there many times, years latent, just laying there latent, waiting for the right opportunity to expose themselves. But the moment they expose themselves, then you're on notice. You see, some of you have been surprised, some of us have been surprised, at what we found in our lives that we didn't know was there, was still there. You see, when you got, when you got saved, you became a new creation, new creature in Christ, okay? But the sins of the ancestors and the sins in the bloodline and the sins that you committed were called it becoming Christ-like. It is the process of sanctification. And in the process of sanctification, you have got to face those things that tripped you up in the past, and you've got to come beyond them. You've got to come over them. Ignoring them does not make them go away. And Satan is patient. He's patient. He'll wait until the opportune moment to stir that thing in you, to try to get you to respond to that temptation that you fell privy to in the past. So once you understand the scripture more carefully, for whom he did foreknow. You see, he knew from the beginning who would and who would not believe and respond. He knew that. He knew that. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. He predestined, he predetermined that those who received his Son, he will not make you receive his Son. Contrary to what some people teach. No. It's an individual thing, a personal thing. You have to, as an act of your will, submit and surrender and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But the minute you do that, whom he predestinated, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. One way or the other, he's going to get you like Jesus. You can make it as easy on yourself or as hard on yourself as you want to make it. But one way or the other, he's going to get you like Jesus. And I got people sitting here this morning. You have not understood many times why you were coming under the attack you were coming under. You didn't understand. You thought that thing was dead and gone. And all of a sudden, it resurfaced in your life. That attitude, that reaction, that response, it resurfaced in your life. Until you understand the stronghold is there, you won't pray it. You won't stand against it. But see, we like to walk in church and pretend, oh, I'm okay and you're okay, we're okay. The truth is, we're all in a process of being conformed to the image of Christ. And in order to conform us to the image of Christ, he's got to reveal to us those things in our lives, whether it's an attitude, an action, a reaction, whatever it may be. He's got to reveal to us what is there. And many times it was in the ancestral bloodline, as I mentioned a while ago. And it's waiting, waiting, waiting for the right moment to surface itself. And then it will surface itself. Once you come beyond it and you have the victory, you've got the victory. And only Christ can give you the victory. Now, I'm talking to people today. In your heart of hearts, you knew what you were before Christ. You knew some of the attitudes, some of the reactions, some of the responses. You know what was there before Christ. And you know those things in your life you now have victory over. But the question is, what remains in your life that you do not yet have the victory over? Are you willing to face it? Are you willing to admit it? Sometimes it's nothing more than temper, anger, impatience, whatever it may be. But you've got to be willing to acknowledge that thing and bring it before the Lord and say, this is in my life. As a believer, it has no place in my life. It may be prejudice against a specific group, a specific race, whatever it may be. Folks, sanctification is not a cakewalk. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Sanctification is not a cakewalk. Sanctification is spiritual surgery. God has to reveal to you that this seed is still in your life. And that seed has to be extracted from your life. And sometimes the extracting of that seed from your life is not comfortable. It's not pleasant. One of the hardest things you'll ever do is look yourself straight in the face and say, that was me. That's me. He's talking about me here. So once you get here, whom he did foreknow, he knew from the beginning who would and who would not believe and respond. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. He predetermined that every one of us who received Christ as our Savior was going to be conformed to the image of Christ. Folks, he's going to get you there. One way or the other, he's going to get you there. I don't know what he's going to have to bring you through to get you there. I know some of the stuff he's brought me through in the process of getting there. When you go to the, and I suggest you do this, I did a message yesterday that will be on the radio tomorrow. I suggest you go to our website tomorrow. It's Romans chapter 1, the last 14 to 16 verses. And it lists out the things, and you have to understand that when Paul wrote that, yes, he has primarily in mind those who are without Christ. But as you look at what's really involved in Romans chapter 1 and the last 16 verses, you find little tidbits of that still in your life. It's there. God hates spiritual pride. You've got to be willing to go before the throne of God and say, this is in my life. This is unChrist-like. This is contrary to Christ. This is contrary to the Word of God. It may be nothing more than attitude. It may be a weakness of some kind, whatever it may be, but you need to get clean with God. Go, listen, this is a first Sunday message of the new year. And I'm giving you some insight on how to walk in victory. And by the way, you're going to come under attack. And he knows what's in your bloodline. He knows where your weaknesses are. He knows where you were weak in the past. And he's going to tailor the temptation to meet the bloodline sins or your weakness in the past. And he's the only one that can bring you through it. Who he did predestinate? He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. He predetermined that those receiving Christ would be conformed to the image of Christ, the likeness of Christ, one way or the other. You can make the conforming process a little easier on yourself by acknowledging those things in your life that are unChrist-like. Confess them as sin. Go to war against them. And many times it does you good to look at your bloodline. See what was in your bloodline in the past, because demons love bloodlines. And once they gain access to a bloodline, they stay in that bloodline as long as they can until a person in that bloodline makes a stand, stands against them, recognizes the reality of their existence, and gets the deliverance from them. One may come to Christ, and we know we're going to be conformed to the image of Christ. We know that. The Word of God tells us that we're in a process of being conformed. Don't give up on yourself. God's in the process of conforming you to the likeness of Christ. And he's going to get you there, one way or the other. And you can make the conforming process as easy on yourself or as hard on yourself as you want to make it, but he's going to get you there. Romans 8:30. No, let me come back up to the last part of that verse. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. That Jesus Christ might be the firstborn among many brethren. Those of us, and I'm assuming that everybody sitting in this room under the sound of my voice is born again. I'm making that assumption because I don't think you could have lasted in here if you weren't. I really don't. I don't think you could have lasted in Challenger's Ministries if you were not born again. So he has determined that if you're born again, he is going to get you conformed to the image of Christ, that he wants a brotherhood, that Jesus might be the firstborn among many brethren. He is the firstborn of the brethren under God. Verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate. Now slow down. I want to cut across the grain of some commentaries here. You've got people out there that will tell you that God preselected some for salvation before the creation of the world, and others were not selected. That's a lie out of hell. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world and everybody in it that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have eternal life. Get that straight. There are those who have never heard the gospel. There are those who would die without ever having heard the gospel. Then on what basis does God deal with them? The moral law of God is written into every human heart. Hear me. The moral law of God is written into every human heart. And until one overrides, overrules, and refuses the moral law of God in their life, they will live a life in accordance with the moral law of God in their life. A kid, an infant, a young kid, 2 or 3 years old, mama, daddy said, don't do that. And they start to do it. They see them looking. They jerk the hand back. Why? They know they're wrong. Every human being born has the moral law of God written in their heart. And you either have to abide by it or violate it. And those who abide by it, even if they never went to church, if they never heard the gospel, if they lived up to the moral law of God written in their heart, will die and go to glory. It's that simple. We come down further now. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. That's his foreknowledge. God knew from before the foundation of the world who would and who would not believe. That does not mean that he predetermined that you will believe and you won't believe. No, no, no. It's free will. It's free will. Whom he called, he justified. If he called you into his body, which I believe that is true of you, you're justified. In Christ Jesus, you're justified just as if I'd never sinned. Just as if I had never sinned. Because all your sins were put to death in Christ Jesus. So you stand complete before Christ, before God, in Christ Jesus. Them he justified, he also glorified. Now that glorified will not take place until eternity. That's when the glorification will take place in eternity. Verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who could be against us? Indeed, what shall we say to these things? I think the problem in the church many times is that the average child of God does not understand who they are in Christ Jesus. New creation. If a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passing away. Don't give up on yourself. God hasn't given up on you. Yes, he's got to peel it off layer by layer by layer. And sometimes when he peels a layer off, I've been there. I know what I'm talking about. I've been there when it was excruciatingly painful to admit this is in my life. This is in my thinking. And have to go before him in open transparency and say, I'm wrong. It's sin. But you see, that's sanctification. When you got saved, you didn't become... Why didn't God take you to glory right then? Saved you a lot of trouble, wouldn't he? I mean, we don't go to glory the moment we get saved. The moment we get saved, we are born again. We become new creations. We're adopted into the family of God. Now comes the process of burning out all the stuff that was in us before we got saved that can no longer be there. And it doesn't happen overnight, folks. It doesn't happen overnight. Sometimes it's years. Matter of fact, a lifetime. We gain more and more and more and more. The longer we walk with Him, the more longer we obey Him, submit to His Lordship in our life, we gain more and more and more victory. But the battle's not over till you go to glory. And until you go to glory, every day of the world when you get up, Satan is looking for some way to infiltrate your thinking, some way make you stumble and fall. He never gives up on you, folks. I know I've been there. I've been there. And sometimes it's nothing more than an attitude. Sometimes it's nothing more than an attitude or reaction or response or judgmentalism. Name it. Name your own. What should we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who or what can prevail against us? Nothing or no one. In order for Satan to gain an ascendancy in your life, you've got to give him the authority for that. Yes, you were born with some ancestral sins in your life. Yes, you came into this world a victim of bondage in many respects. But Jesus came to set the captives free. That's what it's really all about. You got to understand who you are in Christ Jesus. What your stand is. If God be for us, who can be against us? Nothing out of hell can prevail against you once you know who you are in Christ. The problem many times is we don't acknowledge that that is coming against us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If God be for us, who can be against us? Who or what can prevail against us in Christ? Nothing or no one. The only way that Satan's going to gain a victory in your battle, in your life, is if you let him have it. That's the only way. Now, that is why we try to disciple people, let them understand who they are in Christ, understand the warfare, understand the weapons of their warfare, understand the whole armor of God. And most people look at the whole armor of God, they think that's child stuff. No, it's not child stuff. It's reality. It is reality because you're in a warfare. Every day of the world when you get up, Satan is waiting to try to assail you and weaken your testimony or cause you to fall. It's warfare, folks. Romans 8:32. No, going back to the last verse. If God be for us, who can be against us? Who or what can prevail against us if we submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Nothing. Nothing to no one. You can walk in victory. It's a battle. Folks, it's not a cakewalk. I've been there. I know what I'm talking about. I got scar tissue all over me. I've been there. I know what I'm talking about. It's not a cakewalk. But He has assured you the victory if you submit and surrender. But notice this. It's okay. Notice this. Many of you have never taken the time to look inside and see what the stronghold is. The stronghold can be pride. The stronghold can be bigotry. The stronghold can be prejudice. The stronghold can be anything that has a stronghold in your life that is unlike Christ. And many times, I'm convinced that most of the people of God never take the time to examine their attitudes and their thought life and their desires and determine what in their thought life is unchristlike, what in their attitudes is unchristlike, and what their desires are that are unchristlike. Once you get there, you have to gut out. But hear me now. Everywhere you ever had a stronghold in your life, you're going to have to come up against that stronghold until you get victory over it. I just gave you a whole message right there. Examine your life. Examine what the strongholds were in your life. And understand you're going to have to face that demon, that stronghold. You're going to have to face it till you get victory over it. And you can't get the victory over it in your own strength. It has to be Christ. If God be for us, who can be against us? Who or what can prevail against us? No one or nothing. You don't have to lose the battle. You're going to lose them. But every time you lose a battle, understand I just lost the battle. And I'm not going to lose it again. And you get before God. And you confess your failure to God. And you say, I failed. But I'm not failing there again. I'm drawing a line in the sand. I'm going to submit and commit myself to you, Lord. And I'm going to walk in power, love, joy, and victory. Verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. It's an humbling thing to realize that God gave Christ for you. Surrendered Christ to the cross. There's no preacher on the face of the earth that can describe the agony and the pain involved in the crucifixion. It wasn't just all physical. It was emotional. It was spiritual. It was separation. For the first time of all of time and eternity, Christ was separated from God the Father. My God, why have you forsaken me? Once you realize what your sin cost, my sin cost, once you start realizing that, he spared not his own son. Why? He made his son the sacrifice for my sin. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He will give you everything needful and necessary for your subsistence. I don't have to worry about tomorrow. He's promised to feed me. He's promised to clothe me. He's promised to house me. I don't have to worry about those things. I don't have to worry about my protection. He is my protection. Anything that God permits into my life or your life, anything that God permits is for His glory. Now you can do one or two things. I have not complained. I've not griped. I've not murmured since the stroke. I came out of it praising God. I've been praising God and thanking God ever since because He minimized, in many respects, the effects of the stroke. He minimized it. And I praise Him for that. I thank Him for that. I thank Him I got a wife that loves me the way she does and pampers me the way she does. Because I require a lot of pampering. I require a lot of pampering. And she fills the bill. Thank God. So we're now in the process of being conformed to Christ Jesus. And you have to understand this, folks, as I start wrapping this up. You're going to be processed different than I am. When I had the stroke, I went serious before God. What are you trying to correct? Where am I wrong? Is there sin in my life that I haven't acknowledged? But I didn't find His conviction anywhere. And I looked at Job. This was a contest that none of us understand between God and Satan. But you see, you're not going to understand everything that happens, but everything that happens is for His glory and your good. God is conforming us to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. I just give Him thanksgiving. Sometimes, folks, with what's going on in your life, physically, spiritually, emotionally, all you can do is with tears running down your cheeks, if need be, raise your hands and say, thank you, Lord. Why? The Word of God says, are you ready for this? All things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. I've told the Lord, burn out the dross. Burn out the dross. Burn out any dross in my thinking, my attitudes, my reactions, my actions. Whatever's there that shouldn't be there, that's unchristlike, burn it out. I don't want it there. I want Christ-likeness. I want Christ-likeness in every aspect of my life. So do you. The fact that God knew in advance does not mean that God pre-selected some for salvation. I'm cutting across the grain of some doctrine now. God's never learned anything new. Folks, hear me now, because you've got commentary after commentary after commentary out there alluding to the fact that God pre-selected some for salvation and others to go to hell. No! For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans chapter 10, verses 12 through 18. Come over there just a moment. Romans chapter 10, beginning with verse 12. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord God, over all, is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel and preach and bring good news of good things. Folks, I'm living proof of the love, the mercy, and the grace of God. Living proof. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Listen to that carefully as I close. Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet. I don't know about you, but mine were as scarlet. Yep. Folks, I look back across my life. I'm a living testimony to God's goodness, God's love, God's mercy, God's grace. Amen. And many of you know what I'm talking about. We look back on what we were with shame. And because we look back on what we were, what we did, who we did it with, the whole thing, we just thank God for His love, His mercy, and His grace, because we didn't deserve it. Not a one of us. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The blood of Christ that cleanses. I close where I started. For God so loved the world and everybody in it that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Christ went to the cross and died for people you won't even give the time of day to. Christ died and went to the cross for people that you condemn and judge. Christ died for any and all who would submit and surrender to His Lordship, who would believe and receive. I want this year to be a year in your life that you walk in love, light, and victory unlike anything you've ever walked before. And so this message this morning, God so loved the world and everybody in it that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him. I'm asking God, as I wrap this up, I'm asking God to invade the ranks of Catholicism. I'm asking God to invade the ranks of the Muslims. I'm asking God to invade the ranks of every false system of religion and bring hundreds of thousands of souls into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ this year. Including the Protestant church. Because so many are sitting in church who really do not know Christ. Do not understand the basic truths I've developed to you this morning. Heavenly Father, you gave it to me, I've given it to them. And now I give it to you to use in their lives as you see fit. Father, where we need conviction, give us conviction. Where we need illumination, give us illumination. But, oh, Father God, don't give up on us. Don't let up on us, I should say. Conform us. Conform us to the image of Jesus Christ and be glorified in who we are, all we are, all we say, all we do, all we think. And this I ask in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen and amen. Well, going forward this year, that's where we're going to go. We're going to take the offering. I see people waving. I don't forget the money. We're going to take the offering. And then after the offering, Quinn is going to come up and close us with prayer. And tonight, the concert of prayer, 7 o'clock tonight, we're going to have our concert of prayer. So, with all that said and done, pray for my wife's knees. She's wore herself out taking care of me. I take a lot of taking care of. I know that none of you are like that. You don't require that kind of. I require a lot of taking care of. And God tailor-made her to do it. Come on up, bring your tithe and your offering on up.
You don't have to give it if you don't want it. It's between you and God.
Joe, you're all right. I don't care what these people say. I think you're all right.
You're all right,
too. What they say, that's right. It's okay. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and Goober. We're just going to close this out with prayer. When he says amen, it's over. You can get up, hug Nick, shake hands, and go home. Quinn.
Father God, we just want to thank you for the day, Father God. Father God, we want to thank you for that message, Father God. And Father, most of all, I want to thank you for salvation. I want to thank you for the cross of Jesus Christ. Father Hank, Bob's right. I don't think we look at the agony that God himself went through, knowing that he had to give his son up and be separated, and what Jesus Christ went through, knowing he was separated. Stark reminder, Father God, that we need to be on our knees every day giving you honor and glory. And Father, reach out to those, Father God, and be that witness for them, Father God, that they may know the joy and the peace that Jesus Christ has given me, Father God. And I thank you for that. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I bless every person, Father God, here or the sound of this church, Father God, through the internet. Father, I pray a touch of Jesus Christ upon their souls, Father God. For those that need healing, Father God, you are the great healer. Father, for those who need emotional support, Father God, you are our Father. And who better to go to get that arms wrapped around us, to get that hug from God, from Jesus Christ, for emotional support. For those who are having financial difficulties, Father God, I pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that you will touch them, Father God, in that area, Father God, and bless them. Father, bring them out through truth and light, Father God. And Father, for every prayer that's in this box, Father God, I pray, Lord Jesus Christ, you will touch every prayer in that box. And Father, at your will, you will respond to that prayer. And Father, the person that put that prayer in that box, Father God, you will show them, Father God, that prayers come true. And it's by your will and your way, Father God, that they come true. So Father, I thank you for what you've brought us through and what we're going through in 2024.
Amen.
Father, I pray for the President of this United States, Father God. I pray for the Congress and the Senate, Supreme Court, and every office in between, Father, down to the lowest in every city, Father. Father, we're a sin-cursed world.
Amen.
And we need revival. And I pray for revival, Father God. Hear my words, Father God. Father, set this world on fire by any means necessary so that we bow our knees to you.
Amen.
And become a nation of Jesus Christ and a trust in God. And Father God, that my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren will know the world that I grew up in. And Father God, I just pray that you will bless this country. Bless the nations of the world, Father God. And may they turn their eyes towards you. In your holy and precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Quinn, I'd like for you and Jean to lay hands on her and pray for her. Jean? All right, folks, you can go home now. Get up and shake hands with somebody. Go home. You can't stay here. BG? I want you two guys to pray for her. You doing better? How we doing?